Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. First on the docket today, Letitia Stauch, attorney and counselor at law. Second, more motions in the DeBell matter. Third, DNA solves another cold case. Fourth, a romantic interlude that goes quite poorly. Fifth, a man attempts to bury his wife alive. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day and a recap of our contestants throughout the week. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk, and my name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. If you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button, as well as that little bell over there in the corners, so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. First on the docket, Letitia Stauch, attorney and counselor at law. There was supposed to be a hearing the other day, and for some reason, it was canceled. It was held today regarding whether Letitia Stauch is going to be able to represent herself as it relates to the charges of first-degree murder. In court, the court gave her an Arguello advisement, which is simply an advisement based upon a case where the defendant's last name was Arguello. The Arguello advisement lets Ms. Stauch know that it is not a good idea to represent yourself, that the area of criminal law is a highly specialized area of law with lots of intricacies and nuances that you may not be able to pick up, let alone on a first-degree homicide case. Ms. Letitia Stauch responded to the court's statement in Friday saying that having an attorney would have more experience than you would. She responded saying, "I've come to find the word expert doesn't hold much value. I'm the expert here. I think that I could do it on my own, sir. It's my constitutional right." The court granted Ms. Letitia Stauch's request. She is now her own attorney. She will have advisory counsel appointed, and that advisory counsel will assist her in answering legal questions that she may have regarding procedure and various legal aspects. He or she is not necessarily required to be so up to speed on the case that he or she would be allowed to step in if Ms. Letitia Stauch changes her mind at some point, even mid-trial, saying that she wants an attorney. I'm not sure that she really appreciates the amount of work in a case such as this, given the fact that she's never done it before, but we will see how things turn out. Next on the docket, more cases in the Chad DeBell Lori Vallow matter. This time, the prosecution has filed a motion to compel, basically saying, hey, Chad DeBell, through his attorney, provided the government with a report of a survey that he intends to enter into evidence at the motion for a change of venue. Kind of significant. At a motions hearing, you don't get to just hand in a piece of paper and let the judge rule. There has to be witnesses lay the foundation, testify as to what they did, and be subject to cross-examination. The individual who apparently performed the survey refuses to name themselves except through protective pleadings. The state filed a supplemental request for discovery and served it upon counsel a while ago, and the responses that Mr. Pryor responded to the questions were the words, "None." The defense refuses to provide the state with the name of the witness and other requested information that is required under the Idaho Rules of Evidence, specifically Rule 705. So the government in that matter is asking for the defense in this particular case to turn over the information. And if you don't, you may not get to use it at trial. We'll see how that works out. That matter has been set for a hearing now on March 10th at 9 a.m., and we'll bring it to you. Next on the docket, a romantic interlude goes poorly. Two women have been arrested in connection of an alleged murder of a man whose body was found in a remote area in Knox County, Tennessee. Victor Lentner, 33, arranged to meet up with a woman by the name of Kendra Ivy in early February for a romantic interlude. Mr. Lettner was reported missing on February 9th after having not been seen since February 7th. Apparently the 6th was his birthday, so people were trying to get in touch with him. Now, Miss Ivy told investigators that Lettner drove to her address, and after he did not give her the amount of money agreed upon for the romantic interlude, that her boyfriend then showed up with the intent of perhaps robbing Mr. Lettner. Needless to say, Mr. Lettner is now deceased, and it is alleged that the boyfriend, Mr. Charlie Rico Martinez, reportedly shot and killed Mr. Lettner. Then the two of them fled the scene. Now, Mr. Martinez's mother, Diana Gentry, has been charged with accessory after the fact and tampering with evidence. You can't help somebody if they come and tell you that I have committed a crime. Help me elude being prosecuted or hide this evidence. Bad, bad deal. Mr. Martinez remains on a $1 million bond. Gentry is being held on a $20,000 bond. Now, hopefully most people, when they're having romantic interludes like Mr. Lettner, are not paying for those services. But if you are going to meet somebody, you may want to know exactly with whom you're going to meet. What's the best way to do that? Get their name. Get their name and then go to crimetalksearch.com, search their name and find out what comes up. What's on their social history? What is associated with their emails and their phone numbers? How about a criminal history? How about property records? How about, more importantly for those romantic interludes, whether they're married or are they divorced? Those are the kinds of things that you're going to find out. Go to crimetalksearch.com. You'll be happy you did. Don't be a Mr. Lettner, that's for sure. Next on the docket, DNA solves another cold case. This case comes from the great state here of Colorado, and investigators claim they've solved a decade-old cold murder case charging a 62-year-old Nebraska man with the brutal killing after connecting him to the crime scene using DNA evidence recovered from his trash. Mr. David Dwayne Anderson, and we'll give him the presumption of innocence, but he has been charged with the sexual assault and murder of Sylvia Quayle. Quayle was killed on August 3rd, 1981. The following morning, her father discovered her nude body inside their Cherry Hills Village residence. The authorities had alleged that she had been sexually assaulted before being strangled, stabbed, and also shot. Mr. Anderson was detained near Cozad, Nebraska, but he lives in North Platte. Investigators never gave up on the case, and they tested an area rug recovered from the crime scene in 1995. That contained the DNA of somebody other than the victim. Yep, that's right. It turned out to be Mr. Anderson. In 2000, a male DNA profile was developed and submitted to two national genetic databases. A match determined the DNA was Anderson's, and investigators traveled to Nebraska collecting two bags of his trash. Detectives found used alcohol bottles as well as discarded cans of vanilla Coke. They were able to recover genetic material from the can that matched the DNA found on the area rug. Mr. Anderson was arrested last week in Nebraska. He'll be extradited back to Colorado. Interesting issue. Obviously, no warrant is required because you have no expectation of privacy in your trash that you have discarded. Like I said, we'll give Mr. Anderson the presumption of innocence and we'll continue to follow that case. It's always nice for the victim's family to have closure, even if it is nearly two decades later. Next on the docket, a man attempts to bury his wife alive. Fortunately, he didn't succeed. A woman called 911 just before 9 a.m. the other day, reporting that her husband had just tried to kill her on a Coronado beach. The couple visited the beach earlier in the evening and got into an argument that escalated when the suspect, later identified as Jose Luis Mares of Moreno Valley, started attacking his wife. He tried to throw her into the surf and then brought her near a lifeguard tower where he tried burying her in the sand. She said there was a hole in the ground and the hole had previously been there from probably kids digging it earlier in the day. During the struggle, she said he threw her in the hole and he began putting sand on the top of her head. He kicked her repeatedly and then stopped and ran away. The police aren't exactly sure what scared him and why he ran away. The woman escaped and contacted police. The police found Mr. Mars a short time later, hiding in the backyard of a home nearby. He's been charged with attempted murder, assault, causing great bodily injury, domestic violence, false imprisonment. Oh, and guess what? He has a parole violation, which means he'd recently been released from the California Department of Corrections. Next on the docket, the dumb criminal contestant of today. But before we get to today's contestant, let's give a quick recap of this week's contestant. Monday, Arizona man Brandon Souls makes up an elaborate lie of being kidnapped for ransom, only so he wouldn't have to go to work. Tuesday, Richard Lee Ortecho, 21, was driving 120 miles per hour in a 70 mile per hour zone near Vero Beach in his Volkswagen. When he was pulled over, he stated that he didn't know reckless driving was illegal, and he was singing a song called A 120, which means 120, which is why he was driving 120 miles an hour. Who could forget, on Wednesday, the Florida man by the name of Alex Bonilla, charged with mutilating his wife's lover, who apparently blacked out during the incident, but may have removed various body parts of his neighbor because he thought that the neighbor was having an affair with his wife. Yesterday, we had Nathan Danzuka, who was arrested after he crashed his car after a short police chase. His BAC was 0.778, the legal limit being 0.08. That is the highest recorded BAC for a DUI ever recorded. Now that shows real dumb criminal potential, doesn't it? And today, let's meet Mr. Charles Kensel, who was being pulled over after leaving a bar. He did admit to having 4 rum drinks, and when asked to provide his license, he gave the police officer his credit card. On the way to jail, he stated, "Damn, I'm buzzed." All right, Mr. Kensel, we appreciate your honesty, but it's not going to do you much good in court. So you are a dumb criminal contestant of the day. Congratulations. Please vote. Let us know who you think should be named the winner, and they will receive cool Crime Talk gear. All right. Thanks for watching. Try to watch the summary that comes up on Saturday as well. As I mentioned, I'm going to be in trial next week, so it's going to be a little hit or miss whether we put up a video, but we will do our best to do something, even if we have to go live. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.